Good morning, everyone. Great to be here with you this morning, and it's a privilege to minister the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus every Sunday we come together. And one of the most important things in the Christian faith is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that death could not hold him, that that he is victorious over sin, death, and hell, and that the resurrection proves all of these things. And because of the fact he lives, we will live also. Because of the resurrection, the Apostle Paul says, if there was no resurrection, we would be of all men most miserable. But there is a resurrection. There is a resurrection. We don't sorrow like others. There is a resurrection, and we rejoice in that together. And we want to think about that this morning. We want to think about the resurrection this morning. You know, when someone passes, and I've had a sister, a sister who's passed away. I've had a father and mother who's passed away. I've been to a number of funerals. And I've talked to people who've lost loved ones. And sometimes when you talk to them, and I'm sure you have too, they'll say, so-and-so is gone. So-and-so is not with us anymore. But as a Christian, we don't say that. As a Christian, we don't say someone's gone. Or we don't say, we say someone has passed. Or we say someone has gone to heaven. We say, my mother just passed recently. We say she's with the Lord. As a Christian, we don't say they're gone. We say that they're with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so it's a great comfort that we have. That when we pass and we go and we're going to the grave and we're buried. I remember two weeks ago, when we went to. When my mother passed away, we went to the burial, the grave site. And I stood there, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm not sure why I'm standing here, because I'm just looking at dirt, right? I'm just looking at dirt. She's not here. She's in heaven. And her physical body is under this surface of dirt, but she's in heaven. Her real person, her real self, is not there. Even when we go, and the gravestone wasn't made yet, but when we might go look at the gravestone and we see her name and it's my father's name, he's not there and she's not there. And we rejoice in that, because a Christian says they're no longer here, they're with the Lord. And so that's what we want to look at this morning. We want to think about how the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, and that how we have a part in that too. John chapter 14, verse 19, it says, because he lives, you shall live also. Every one of you, myself included, everyone that knows the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, you will also rise from the dead. And what a great encouragement, what a great privilege to know that. Well, our Bibles are open. We're in Luke chapter 24, and I want to read a few verses there, and then we'll get into our passage and into our study for this morning. Chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre bearing the spices which they had prepared, 100 pounds of anointing spices, which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And when they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. The stone wasn't rolled away from the sepulchre to allow the Lord Jesus out of the tomb. The stone was rolled away from the sepulchre to allow the disciples and allow these women to go into the tomb and to see the Lord Jesus Christ was not there. They found the stone away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, two angels. And as they were afraid, they bowed their faces down to the earth, and they said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of God must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things to the 11 disciples and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Isn't that one of the most amazing verses in the Bible? The Lord Jesus told them many times that he would rise from the dead. He would suffer. 3 days later, he'd rise from the dead. Now, when he did rise from the dead, and someone comes to them and says, the grave is empty, they say, these words seem to be as idle tales, and they didn't believe them. But Peter arose, and he ran to the sepulchre, and John also ran. We don't have it here. Peter arrives, stooping down. He beheld the linen closed. The Greek word here for behold is to fix their eyes for a period of time. It wasn't a quick look. It was a long look. Looking at the linen clothes. And it says this in verse 12. Looking at the linen clothes laid by themselves and departing and departed, wondering in himself at that which has come to pass. We want to think about this morning. What is the meaning of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead? You know, we find in this chapter, it's a wonderful chapter because there are five open things in this chapter. And the first open thing is the open tomb. They come to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ is buried, and they find the stone rolled away from its opening, an open tomb. We find also open eyes. The Lord Jesus walks with disciples from the road to Emmaus, and their eyes are closed. Their eyes are open, but they can't. They're closed as far as seeing who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And they began to stoop down, and they're discouraged, and they're downcast. And he says, why are you so downcast among yourselves? And they say, are you the only person in all of Jerusalem that don't know what happened in these days? I love the Lord Jesus. I believe that he has a sense of humor. Reverently, I say that, because how does he answer? He says, are you the only one in all Jerusalem that doesn't know what's happened in these days? And he says, what things? Now, that's a form of humor, isn't it? He said, what are you talking about? What things? Don't you know the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, how the chief rulers and leaders and delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Verse 21, we hoped that it had been he who would have redeemed Israel. And besides all these things, today is the third day since all these things were done. And certain women of our company came and told us they went to the tomb and found it, went to the sepulchre, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Down a little bit further, they were having a meal together, eating together in verse 30. And he began to take the bread, and he broke it and gave it to them. I just wonder, it doesn't say in the text, but as he gave them the bread, I can see the nail wounds in his hands. And verse 31 says, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Open tomb, open eyes, open hearts, or open scriptures. It says that he, verse 32, he opened the scriptures to them. And then we have, he opened their understanding. He comes in the midst of his disciples. He stood before them, before the 11, and they thought they had seen a ghost as the Lord Jesus stood before them. In verse 38, the Lord Jesus says, why are you troubled? Why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands. look at my feet, handle myself, see that I am flesh and blood and not a spirit. And when he had spoken and he showed them his hands and his feet, while they yet believed for joy and wondered at what he had said to them. The Lord Jesus, again, a little bit of humor injected. He's showing his hands and feet. They think they see a ghost. The first words out of the Lord Jesus' mouth, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb, and he took it and he ate it. You know, something interesting here. When the disciples, well, these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, when they were discouraged and wondering about who the Lord, about what was happening with the Lord Jesus, he preaches to them. It says, from Moses, he preached to them all the scriptures, things concerning himself. When they were discouraged, he preached to them. That's a good thing. When you're discouraged, you know, a lot of times people, when they're discouraged, they don't go to church. They feel bad. They feel discouraged, depressed, cast down. They want to be alone. That's the worst thing to do, is to be alone. It's good to go and be with other believers and be where the Word of God is opened. And when you leave, you'll say, it's good that I was there. If you're discouraged and you're downcast, and you have problems and difficulties in your life, open the Word of God. Begin to read it and keep on reading it and ask the Lord to show you truth. And you'll say, it's been good that I've been reading the Word. It's been good to hear the voice of the Lord. But when they were afraid, when they were afraid and frightened, when they thought they saw a ghost, he shows them his hands and his feet. They said, it's me. I'm here. The Christ is nearby. No need to be afraid. And then, near the end of this passage, he shows them the cross. And he says in verse 45, they opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And then he said this to them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance should be, the repentance of remission for sins should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are my witnesses. And here it's believed he stood before 500 and said, you are my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. But we want to think this morning a little bit about the message of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope, he says, we are the most miserable. He said, if all we have is in this world, not sure how long I'll live. My mother lived to 87. Her parents lived until their 90s. I'm not sure how long we have on this earth. But if this is all we have, this short period of time, and it gets shorter all the time. I was talking to Dr. Tobin this morning, and he had a patient that died at 66. Well, I said to him, I said, is he young? He said he was 66. I said, that is young. It's younger all the time. How long do we have? We don't know. But if it's all that we have is this world, this life, so short, so short. Well, the Bible tells us we have eternity. We have eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not, all that there is not just this life. This life is only a small fraction of what we'll have in front of us for all eternity. And so he says, if in this life only we have hope, we are most miserable. But he says, we have a life with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the message of the resurrection in the scriptures? In the New Testament, it's mentioned 40 times. One of the most frequently mentioned doctrines in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, it's mentioned 10 times as they preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospels, the message of the resurrection is introduced. In the epistles, in the book of Acts, it's preached. In the epistles, it's explained. We have this great message of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus all through the New Testament. But then we have one of the great lessons for us. What is the meaning of the resurrection? Well, one of the meanings is Christ says, if I live, you shall live also. If the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, we will also be raised from the dead. And look at this verse I have on the overhead. This is Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. He says, looking expectantly for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly bodies to be fashioned like his glorious body. I want to think this morning with you about that. We have a future in front of us, not just a resurrection from the dead, not the fact that we'll just live with the Lord Jesus for eternity, not that we'll be in heaven, but the Lord has a great future in front of us, for us. It's an amazing future. It's an incredible future. And so we want to look at that a little bit with you this morning. But let's think a little bit about the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus. If we're going to have a body like the Lord Jesus, what was the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus like? I have 15 different things. I just want to give a bit of an idea about what the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus is like. If you can compare the four Gospels, we find these things. We find he had a body missing from the tomb. We find he had a body that could be seen. It wasn't invisible. It wasn't a spirit. We find he has a body that could speak. So we'll have a body that can speak. We have a body that will be seen. He had a body that had hands and feet. He had a body that could stand. He had a body that could walk. He had a body that could breathe. He had a body that could prepare a meal. We'll have all of those same kind of things. He had a body that was flesh and bones. He had a body that could be touched and held and handled. He had a body that could eat. He had a body that could have wounds or scars from his crucifixion, his hands and his feet and his sides. And we believe that in heaven, Jesus will be the only person that will still have something from this world. And that will be the scars in his hands and his feet and his side. We won't have that. We won't have any imperfections. We'll have a glorified body, a resurrection body, a triumphal body. But the Lord Jesus will be the only one in heaven that will have scars in his hands and his feet and his side and maybe upon his face. And that's one of the reasons I think we'll worship him. One of the reasons we'll get to heaven and we'll say to ourselves, as we look upon him, and we'll say, how much do I owe? How much did it cost? What was it that the Lord Jesus underwent when he went to the cross of Calvary? We saw a little bit in that little video clip. What was it and why did he do it? As we see the wounds and the scars in the hands of the Lord Jesus. When Thomas saw the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus, what does he say? He says, my Lord and my God. I think for all eternity we'll be saying, my Lord and my God, when we see the wounds in the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a body that could vanish out of sight. He had a body that could pass through sealed doors and walls. He had a body that can go up into heaven. And we'll have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ one day at the resurrection, at the rapture of the church. Let's think a little bit about our bodies. What we will have because the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, what kind of bodies will we have? And why will we have resurrection bodies? I thought to myself, well, why would the Lord give us that? Why doesn't he just raise us to heaven, but he gives us a resurrection glorified body? Well, I think one of the reasons is we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. We can't do that with our old bodies. We're going to reign over cities and reign with him. In the song that the lady sang a number of times, it says, we will reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to reign and serve him and labor for him and do work for him. We can't do it with these old bodies. If we're ever to enjoy the intimacy of fellowship with the eternal God for eternity, We can't do it with these old bodies. We need new bodies. And so we will have new bodies without any limitations. And we will look at that a little bit this morning. We'll get those bodies at the resurrection, at the rapture of the church. But let's look at five things. We'll look at five things this morning about these bodies. Number one, it'll be a body like the Lord Jesus. Number two, it'll be a body others can recognize. So if you have a loved one in heaven, I expect to recognize my father and my mother and my sister. I recognize each one of you too, I think, in heaven. And we'll recognize some of the great figures in heaven. We'll recognize each other. It's a great privilege in that. We'll have bodies that will have extra-dimensional qualities. And you'll look at that this morning. We'll have bodies that cannot experience pain or tears or suffering. And we have bodies that cannot die. Let's think about that a little bit this morning. We mentioned already, and we read this verse already, we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our lowly bodies to be like, to be fashioned like his glorious body, his resurrection body. We read all those things about the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus. He'll fashion our bodies to be like what we read of those 15 things about the Lord Jesus. What a fantastic thing. It's a fantastic thing that we will have bodies like the Lord Jesus. And here on earth, as we begin to go through the process of sanctification, we are conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said that the Father was so in love with the Son, he wanted millions of others just like him for eternity. We'll be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus, and we'll have a body similar to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a fantastic thing to think of. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:49, if we bear the image of the earthly, of Adam, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. We're going to bear the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. We will have bodies like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll have bodies that are recognizable. Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And verses 12 through 14. There's a number of times in the Gospels that individuals did not recognize the Lord Jesus. But there are many other times. There were three times that there were individuals who didn't recognize the Lord Jesus in his resurrection body. Mary, as she goes to the sepulcher, and she thinks that the Lord Jesus is early in the morning. It's dark. We're not sure from the distance she had. She sees the Lord Jesus, and she didn't recognize it. She supposed he to be the gardener. But then he speaks to her. He speaks his voice. And then she says, Rabboni. She recognized the voice of the Lord Jesus, but she didn't recognize him right away. The two men, or the disciples on the road to Emmaus, it says their eyes were supernaturally blinded. The Bible says holden, that they couldn't recognize him. For some reason, supernaturally, they were not able to recognize the Lord Jesus when he was talking to them. But then he showed him in the breaking of the bread. They recognized, their eyes were opened, and they recognized the Lord Jesus. But here in this passage, we find that they recognize the Lord Jesus. Look what it says in chapter 21, verses 12 through 14. Simon Peter and the others were out fishing. The Lord Jesus was at shore preparing a meal, making breakfast. So it's biblical for men to make breakfast for their families. I don't do that very often, but it's biblical. Where's faith? It's biblical for men to do that. The Lord Jesus making breakfast for them. In verse 12, it says, come and dine. And no one dared to ask him, who are you? Knowing it was the Lord. And Jesus came taking bread, and gave it to them, and fish likewise. This is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. We will recognize one another. There was a famous preacher in Jamaica. I believe Judy and Joy, their father, knew this preacher. His name is Harold Wildish. He was a great preacher. And you can go on the internet, YouTube. I think he's even on YouTube and Voices for Christ. You could listen to one of the great preachers. He was British, came from Great Britain, went to Jamaica, and thousands came to Christ through the preaching of Harold Wildish. But he told a story. He said, I know I'll be in heaven, and I know I'll recognize people in heaven. But he said, I have one great fear. He said, I can see myself skipping along the paths of heaven. And way into the distance, I see a figure coming towards me, and we go further, and we're enjoying heaven. We're skipping along, enjoying, jumping up and down, enjoying the greatness of heaven. And this figure gets closer and closer. They get closer and closer. They meet, and they stop, and they shake hands. And they said, when you were down in the realms beneath, he said, what was your name? He said, my name was Obadiah. Obadiah, that's wonderful, he would say. That's wonderful. He said, I remember you wrote a book in the Old Testament, book of Obadiah. He said, but then the terror strikes me. He says, I can imagine he'll say, did you ever read it? And I say, well, yes, I did read it. And then the second terror comes, and he says to me, what did you get out of it? He said, so I always read the book of Obadiah, Zechariah, and all those little prophets, because I'm afraid one day in heaven I'm going to meet those authors. I'm going to recognize them. I'm going to see them. And they're going to say, what did you get out of my book? So we see this here. The disciples dared not to ask who it was. They knew it was the Lord. We're going to know it's the Lord. And we're going to know each other. And we're going to know some of the great figures of Scripture. And we look forward to that wonderful, wonderful day. Let's turn also to chapter 20 of John's Gospel. Our resurrection bodies will have extra-dimensional qualities. What are you talking about exactly? Let's look at two things. One thing we find is that the body of the Lord Jesus was able to move through walls or sealed doors, locked doors, without those doors being opened in a supernatural way. Look what it says in chapter 20. Chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. Then the same day in the evening, the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews. Not just shut, but I'm sure they were locked for the fear of the Jews. And notice what it says, verse 19. Then came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. What we're told is passed, the doors were not opened. Somehow the Lord Jesus was able to move through a sealed door, a closed room, and stand in front of them. Never opening the door. And when he had shown them his hands and his feet, the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The context here, they opened the door for him. Because when he opened it, they would see the Lord. But he stood in their midst, and then when he showed them their hands and feet, then they were glad. The Lord somehow was able to move through a sealed door or sealed walls and come into their presence. We will have that same ability. And we find also in Luke chapter 24, and other places, the Lord Jesus was able to move quickly from one place to another. At one point, he is talking and eating with the disciples in Luke chapter 24. He disappears from their sight, and he appears somewhere else. We will have that ability as well. Disappear from one place and be in another place. This is how the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was, and this is the kind of body that we will have. Revelation chapter 21 tells us there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more crying. Verse 21, verse 4 says, Revelation 21, verse 4 says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. The old order of things is passed away. Now look at this verse a little more closely. It says, first of all, He will wipe away tears from their eyes. Okay, that's on one side. Then you should go further into the verse. What does it say? There'll be no more crying, no more pain, no more tears. So the question is, why is He wiping tears from the eyes? Why is He wiping tears away? There'll be no more future crying, but I believe there'll be regrets. There may be regrets. There may be initial sadness when we get to heaven. I'm not sure what the sadness will be about. Maybe there'll be tears of joy. Maybe there'll be tears of regret that we didn't do more in our lives below. More to reach a loved one for Christ. More to talk to a work associate for Christ. More to talk with someone who is a relative for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that person's not there. And the Lord wipes away every tear from our eyes. We find also that our resurrection bodies are incapable of dying. The Lord Jesus, of course, it says in Romans chapter 6 about the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus. He rises from the dead to die no more. And our resurrection body will never die again. But I want to close our time this morning by looking at a few things. Just a few minutes. Future glory. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. The Bible talks about future glory, and we've already been discussing a little bit about future glory, but I want to talk about more of that. More of that. We're told in verse 18 of chapter 8, the fact that we'll be glorified along with the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at 18 with me. Apostle Paul says, in this world we will have affliction and sorrow. He says, I reckon the sufferings of the present time not worthy to be compared. He says the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, this light affliction is not worthy to be compared to the glory that would be revealed. He says, we suffer now, even though we have the indwelling Spirit of God, even though we have Christ near, we still suffer. We still have affliction. We still have these old bodies. But notice what he says in this verse. I reckon that the present sufferings, that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us. There'll be a glory. He says the suffering we have now, and suffering is great. And the suffering, Paul's a writer of this verse. And we think of the suffering the Apostle Paul had. Shipwrecked, scourged, imprisoned, beaten, stoned, affliction and persecution over and over again. And he says these afflictions, these persecutions of the present day are not to be compared about the future glory that we will enjoy. It says about us in a future day, we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of His Father. That's us. We will shine like the sun in the kingdom of His Father. We shall have exceedingly an internal weight of glory. Can't even measure that. I can't even understand what that word means. We'll have an exceeding and great, great weight of eternal glory. We will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. The Lord Jesus says, one of my goals, he says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, is to bring many sons and daughters to glory, that we will have future glory. Now, you know, sometimes when you talk to people about what will happen when they die, I remember one time we had a kids club and we had a neighbor come over and we talked about this, what happens when we die? And so he said, we turn into angels and we go to heaven. Now, that's a very common understanding, very common, that when we die, we turn into angels. And his father had told him that. You probably, maybe some of you have watched the movie It's a Wonderful Life. And at the end, near the end of the movie, the main figure, Jimmy Stewart, meets Clarence. I think it's his name, right? Clarence. Clarence the angel. And what does he say? He's going down to help Jimmy Stewart because he just got his wings. He's an angel. And he just got his wings and he's going down to help. He is a person that turned into an angel. I want to say, what will happen to us? We will not turn into angels. We will turn into something. We will become something much, much. Our glory, our future glory is much superior, much far surpasses that of any angel. I'm going to close with this. I want to look at a list with you just very briefly. And then we're going to close in prayer. What we have in store. We don't become angels, but we receive crowns and robes of righteousness and thrones. We are heirs and co-heirs. We'll be kings and priests. We will judge angels. We will serve God forever in heaven. That's our future. Now, I wonder this morning if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They never trusted Christ. They know in their hearts that they may not have any part in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ because they never placed their faith in the Lord Jesus. They never acknowledged that they were sinners and acknowledged that the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and laid down his life for them. Never acknowledged it. Never acknowledged that they needed a Savior. You know, I was like that for many years. I grew up in a Christian home. Never acknowledged it. In fact, I rebelled against it. I didn't want it. But the Lord Jesus spoke to my heart. I can remember very clearly, spoke to my heart, changed my heart, and I repented. I turned my heart towards him, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. The gospel is simple as that. It's not doing a lot of works. It's not going to church. It's not doing a lot of things. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the transformation begins. Then the Lord transforms us into people that live a certain way, a way that pleases him. And he gives us a future. I didn't ask for a future. In fact, when I was a believer, when I first became a Christian, I didn't know anything more than the fact that I had my sins forgiven and I'd be in heaven. But as I began to read the Bible, I found there's so many more things the Lord Jesus Christ has in store for us. It's like you're going to a birthday party and you think you're going to get one present. And you find out there's like 50 people there and you're getting 50 different presents. The Lord Jesus has done wonderful things for us. Not only forgiven us, not only reserved a home in heaven for us, but has created a wonderful future for us. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I urge you, I implore you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Let's close in a word of prayer.